Hallelujah. When you've done all to stand, you've got to keep on standing, amen. Believe, keep on believing God. Hey, I just want to say before, you know, this engine starts, as before we go, I just appreciate being back here again. Really enjoyed last year, you know, ministering at the conference there, doing the regional conference. Really blessed to be back. And just a bunch of great guys. And I loved this morning. The testimonies were just absolutely outstanding. Very inspiring to me. Very uplifting to me. Especially when you're in the midst of the battle. Sometimes you can't see, you know, the trees, you know, for the forest, basically, as they say. Because when you're in the midst of the battle. But today was just very refreshing, very empowering, very invigorating to my spirit today. With those great testimonies of the men of God. And what I'm seeing already, I've only been here a short time, is that God is moving mightily in this convention already, and he's also moving mightily in the people and those testimonies this morning and the churches. And oh, I just loved it. I just love God. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. 35 years, and I'm still more passionately in love with Jesus than I've ever been. I don't know how anybody cannot be in love with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's a wonderful God. He's a faithful God. He's true to his word, and he never fails. But you know what? It must have been 2 or 3 weeks ago, and obviously a lot of guys, people, I don't know if people do know, but we're in a real challenge, you know, next door with you know, my wife and whatever, a challenge for her life. And if you'd have saw her 3 days ago, you'd have looked and you'd have gone, there's no chance she's going to no convention. There's no chance. It's just out the box. It just wouldn't have happened. She's been in hospital, right? I mean, on Sunday, she couldn't even hold a cup in her hand. Her eyes were just closing and just falling closed. She couldn't even hardly speak. This is on Sunday, right? And we're coming down here to do this convention. And I kept asking my wife over the time, I shouldn't have done, but I did because you're a husband. You see what we've got to understand, we are a spiritual being living in a body and we have a soul, right? Your soul is your emotions, your will, and your intellect, right? We're a three-part man. We've really got to understand how the three-part man operate. You are a spirit created in the likeness and the image of God. Your spirit. It's created in the likeness and the image of God. You have the character of God within you. And some of those things came out this morning. The character of God is in you. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Your spirit is connectedly, divinely connected to God. But you have a soul to deal with, right? And your soulical man is your emotions, your will, and your intellect, and your reasoning realm. Right? And many times over this last week or this, even this last month, there's many times my reasoning realm wanted to kick into gear, right? Reason things out, looking at the situation, looking at the circumstance when you're in the midst of the battle, right? But if you look at the circumstance, it will pull you down. It will destroy you because God never looks at the circumstance. God speaks unto things that be not as though they were. He doesn't speak like mankind. He speaks in a different dimension. God wants something. He speaks it into existence. That's the way that he creates things. And our spirit wants to do those things, but our soulical man, sometimes if it is not renewed by the word of God, pulls us in a different direction. And my reason realm was trying to pull me in a different direction. And I'm saying to my wife 2 or 3 times, going, now, are you sure? Are you sure that and she's looking at me, and this is when she was in the hospital, right? And she goes, looks at me, and she goes, in fact, where's John Spears? John, I didn't tell you, John, right? What happened was I had to phone John, and you see, my responsibility mechanism was kicking in. Because I knew the convention, right, and I'm in the midst of what's going on in the whole deal, and I'm in a battle. I mean, I'm in a real battle because I'm thinking, I'm staying in faith. I know that she wants to go, and I'm doing this, right? But my responsibility button kept getting pressed and going, I've got to phone, let them know what's going on, and I'm glad I did because of all the prayers going up with the brothers and the sisters in Christ Jesus. So I phoned John, let them know the situation, and so gracious and so beautiful like that, hey, we're closing nothing off. If you guys are coming, you just do it, but just let me know at a certain time. Well, anyway, Sunday, John, was the worst day of all, mate, believe me, right? And I'm looking, and my heart's going, and my mind's going, you better phone John, you better call this, you better pull the plug. My mind was going bananas. Has anybody's mind went bananas? Am I the only person here? Come on, am I speaking to real, about real things? Right? When you're in situations that your mind can be going bananas, even though that the glory of God dwells within inside of you, even though that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, even though that's Christ in you, the hope of glory, even that you've known that you've experienced. See, you cannot live by your experiences, people. Whether good or bad, you have to live by the Word of God. You have to live by what the Word says, not by good, because some people have great experiences and some people have bad experiences. So you don't base your life and your faith on experiences. You base your life upon the Word of God, right? So I'm standing there and I'm looking Sunday and I think, my head's going, you better phone, right? And the enemy was on my case, right, to phone. And I just resisted. I goes, nah, I'm not phoning nothing. We're going. And the reason why I'm saying that is because in the hospital, I said to her, I walked into the hospital and she said to me, did you phone John Spears, right? I didn't tell her, John, that I'd phoned you, right? I was just trying to do it quietly in the background, you know, just right, the heads, trying to do everything in the right way and not tell her, because I don't want to dampen her faith or her hope, believing this is a point of contact even for her as she's preaching, right? I know that that's what's in her heart, but I didn't tell her that I'd phoned John. So then she calls me, and I walks in the hospital, and she goes, you phoned John Spears, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm feeling right, you know. In fact, when we're first going into the hospital, right, the doctor's asking her questions and they're telling her all these negative things and blah, blah, blah. Every time the doctor goes out, she grabs a hold of my hand. She says, we're not in agreement with that. We're in agreement with God, right? We're not in agreement with that. I don't care what they're saying. They can only do what they do. They do the best that they can do, doctors and nurses and surgeons and the whole deal. But they work in the natural and they see with their physical eye. They're moved by what they see, right? That's all they can do. So anyway, me just listened to what I said, didn't really take it on, right? They walked out. Every time she grabbed my hand, she says, we're in agreement with God. I'm healed. Jesus took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. He's carried my griefs and he's taken my sorrows. Past tense, right? Past tense. Not looking at the circumstance. Past tense. You have to stay in agreement with God's word. I said, okay. So that's when the doctor says that, and she says, I'm going to a convention, doctor, right? And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, I phoned John Spears and I hadn't even told her. I'm in big and dabber. I'm in trouble, right? I'm going to get the jando when she finds out. But as it happened, she found out quicker than I thought she did, because I walked into the hospital. Next day, she goes, you phoned John Spears. And I'm like, baby, I had to do it because of this responsibility. And she's looking at me going, naughty, 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 right? And I'm thinking, I'm backing up and going, okay, yep, I get it, right? She says, I'm going. So that was on hospital. She was in hospital basically Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And they released her on Saturday. And then Sunday was one of the worst days when John said to me, I really need to know by Sunday. But if I don't hear from you by Sunday, I know that you're on your way. And I resisted phoning on Sunday. And believe me, it took everything within me not to phone. And I'll tell you how I was able to do that, because what I'm about to preach right now, it's the Word of God. It empowers your life. It empowers you. I want to speak about champions today. See, this room is full of champions. We heard great testimonies this morning about champions, right? You see, a champion, champions are not born. Champions are not born. Champions are made. Champions are made. Now, when you get born again, you have the potential of being a champion, right? Because you're born again of the Word of God, of the seed, of the eternal seed of the Word of God. It's the Word. So you have the potential of being born again, of being a champion. But champions are made. My pastor used to always say, you hang with big dogs, you get big fleas. Right? You hang with men of God and things I heard this morning. You hang with people who are operating in the supernatural. Guess what? Something's going to get on you. Something's going to get on you. You're going to see, when the disciples with Jesus and Jesus went away to pray, and as he was praying, the disciples, you know, these were the guys who were already praying. These were all already praying people. And when they saw Jesus praying, they goes, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. He was praying in a different dimension. He was praying in a different way from the way that they were praying. Because he doesn't pray according to the circumstances. Sometimes we pray according to the circumstance, and all we're praying about is the sickness and the disease, and we're asking God about things. And so my pastor always say, there's a time to pray and there's a time to take authority. There's a time to ask God for things, but there's a time to take your authority in Christ Jesus. I want to hang with people that know Christ. I want to hang with people who know how to pray. I want to hang with people who know how to flow in the supernatural. That's how you learn. I learned to pray because I hung with people that knew how to pray. It's not that you just pop out, get born again, and that's it. It's all on. Oh, there's passion. You get young men who first put this passion and all the rest of it. I was a very passionate person when I first got saved. Passionate. But I didn't really know about the spirit, soul, and body and the battles that was going to go on in my life. So I had to get round about people who would train me and mentor me. And I've got a quote. Let me just give you this quote. Now, who knows Dr. Lester Summerall? Right? I mean, powerful apostolic minister, this guy around the world. He mentored men all around the world. He was mentored by Smith Wigglesworth, right? Howard Carter and Smith Wigglesworth. My pastor was mentored by him. And he gave me Dr. Summerall's Bible. But he wrote in the leaf, and this has been so pertinent to my life since I've been in New Zealand. And he wrote this in the Bible when he gave me the Bible, and Dr. Summerall gave him this Bible, and he gave it to me before I left Scotland 16 years ago. And he says, obviously you have no, people who don't know me, obviously you know that I'm from Scotland now, don't you? I didn't have to introduce myself that I'm from Scotland. If you do, I'll have to actually pray for you and lay hands on you. Right? Especially if you call me. No, I won't go there. So my pastor writes this and he goes, "To a faithful armor bearer, I served a man of God for over 18 years. I served him for over 18 years faithfully. I was in the ministry with him for over 18 years. I ran with this man the New York Marathon 8 times. I ran the New York Marathon with him." Right? He ran it 16 times. My pastor ran it 16 times. And he ran it for Feed the Hungry. Dr. Lester Summerall had a Feed the Hungry program that fed the world. We talk about doing things. What can you do? What's in your hand? This guy was an entrepreneur mind. This guy could look at something and see the potential in it. Dr. Summerall could just look at something and see the potential and he'd go for it. His whole life was kingdom building. It was never about himself. It was always about the kingdom of God. It was always about Jesus. It was never to glorify himself. It was always to reach out to feed hungry bellies and bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my pastor just loved being around him. And he was one of the international directors in Scotland. In fact, Dr. Summerall brought the Hercules plane. You know the Hercules 130 plane? 5 times we filled that plane with food in Scotland. 5 times, £30,000 worth of food, and took it into Russia and Georgia and all these places with food. And Dr. Summerall was flying this plane all round the place, doing these things and feeding the world. Because he reckons, don't try and preach the gospel to somebody if they've got an empty belly. Feed their belly first and then tell them it's Jesus that fed their belly. So anyway, he writes this to me. And as I'm leaving Scotland in 2001, and he writes in the leaf of this Bible, and he says, "To a faithful armor bearer, this is a gift as a way of saying thanks for many years of support which you have been to me." This is a gift. This was a special gift to him, and he gave me this gift. Lester Summerall, this is a quote from Lester Summerall. And he says, "Lester Summerall always said, a man is not a success unless he raises up successors. A man is not a success unless he raises up successors." It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about what we are raising up round about us. It's about we are grabbing a hold of the young men. The young men, a lot of older men in here, mature men who have stayed in the race for all these years, 30, 40, 50 years. It's about raising those round about you. And he writes in this, "A man is not a success unless he raises up successors. My prayer is that you will go forth and be the success that the Lord has ordained and destined for you to be and to impart the spirit of faith into others." To impart the spirit of faith into others. And since I've been in New Zealand 16 years, man, we've had some battles, right? And preaching this word in some places. We're down in Whakatane there. We've been through some things, but we have continued to preach the word. We've continued to stay the course. And what we do now, we run discipleship classes, right? We run them. And last night I was just sitting, just talking to the Lord about this and just thinking about different things when I read this statement here. And I'm thinking, Lord, what really have you accomplished through me? I'm looking, it's not about me. Believe me, it's about him. Because you can do nothing unless you abide in him, right? You can do nothing unless you abide in him. It's him. You can't do anything without the presence, without the anointing, without his word. It's about him. It's always about him, right? But he wants these vessels. It's Christ in us. He wants to reveal himself in us, right? And through us. I says, Lord, what have I in common? And all of a sudden, I started to just see things by the Spirit of God, so many things that he's done in the years we've been in Whakatane and doing the area. And we've got this, who remembers Ryan from last year? Remember Ryan was with me last year at the regional meeting, right? Ryan, being and his father was Charlie Matthews, right? Great praise and worship leader. And Ryan, been a Christian many years, experienced the presence of God, seen miracles, seen different things in his life over the years, and because of praise and worship leader, and tapped into the presence and the Holy Ghost that came upon him, even a 12-year-old boy, right? And yet years later, struggled so much in his life. Struggled, right, with a fleshly nature. Struggled because of he didn't understand spirit, soul, and body. Struggled because he didn't know who he was in Christ Jesus. Struggled because he didn't know his identity in Christ Jesus. There's two identities, people. One is the Adamic nature, which comes from Adam, and the other one is the supernatural Spirit of God nature that comes from Christ. And you can either walk in one or walk in the other. So my heart has always been. My heart has always been is to train young men and older men, which we are seeing now, is to train them to know who they are in Christ Jesus and cause them to rise up. And not just to start the race, but to finish the race. And that's why I love this room. I see men of God who have been here and they've stayed the race. They've stayed in the race. And you've still got a long way to go. You've still got a long way to go. Why? Because you've got to produce. You've got to produce after your own kind. Because the Bible tells you in Genesis that says every seed will produce after its own kind. Every seed will produce after its own kind. I am what I am is because I was around about people that were sowing seeds of greatness within my life. The seeds of greatness was the Word of God of who I am in Christ Jesus. I have a boldness and a strength in Christ Jesus, not because of me, but because of the Word that was planted in me. Like when I went back to that, we were talking about the farmers. A farmer goes and he plants the seed. Your heart. Your spirit man, when the Bible talks about the heart, he talks about your spirit. Your spirit man is the very ground. It's the very garden, like the Garden of Eden, right? The Garden of Eden. God gave, you know, Adam the garden, plant all these things in beautiful garden. Your heart is a garden. Your heart is a garden. And depending what you plant in your garden is the fruit and how that tree is going to grow and the fruit that's going to come on that tree. Because the fruit doesn't come on the vine, people. Jesus says, I am the vine, but you are the branches. Where does the fruit come? It comes on the branches. It doesn't come on the vine. But unless you're tapped into the vine, you will never produce the fruit. So when I'm saying tapped into the vine, I'm talking tapped in through faith, tapped in through worship, tapped in through praise, tapped in through speaking and declaring the word of God and who you are in Christ Jesus. You can hook up with God. But the seeds, in Genesis it talks about, every seed will produce after its own kind. Right? You plant a corn seed, what do you get? You don't get an apple tree, do you? Well, I've never seen that happen in my life, but you know. I mean, you might get it in New Zealand, but I don't know. I never saw that, right? Well, not that you plant much in Scotland because it's always raining, right? There's not a lot of sun there, so there's not a lot of growth. Anyway, you plant the seeds of the harvest that you're looking for. Right? You plant the seeds of the harvest. The seed of God, the word of God, will actually produce after its own kind. So let me go back to Ryan now. You thought I forgot, didn't you? Go back to Ryan. This is where it all started, right? This is what, building champions, where it all started. A few years back, I've been planting seed and working with different churches. And God showed me last night, he says, Danny, he says, you have planted, and he says, you have affected more than 7 churches in the region. 7 churches in the region, all different denominations. It's came to those classes. It has changed and transformed their lives by my word. Last night, as I was sitting there, and I start to see all these different, I'm talking even to the point, I'll tell you, listen, even to the 7-day Adventist, right? I got to preach in the 7-day Adventist church, right? And the guy told me, he says, they've never had anybody outside of the 7-day Adventist church preach in the 7-day Adventist church, right? I gets in there and I preach my little heart out. And afterwards, right, afterwards, in fact, the guy phoned me the night before and he said to me, he says, now, because what happened was we met him in a hotel. Him and his wife, because my son went to their school when he was only at like 7 or 8 year old, right? Into the 7-day, because it was the best school in the district, right? And these two people that was running the school were born again, spirit filled Christians, right? In the 7-day Adventist. And I really liked this couple. really just knew that they knew Jesus. So what happens is we meet them in a hotel, Divine Connection, and we sit sharing for 3 hours. We sat and we shared the word of God and poured into their lives. And they turned and she said, looked and said to her husband, "Hey, we need to get these guys over to preach in the church." And his head's going, "Tell, we don't do things like that." Right? But anyway, God must have spoke to them. So he phones me up, invites me. The night before I was to go in to preach, he said to me, he says, "Listen," and he starts, I could hear the nervousness. I could hear the nervousness in his voice, and I'm going, "Listen, brother," I says, "it's all good, right? It's all good." I says, "It's all good. I will not step over the boundaries, you know, that you, like, that I will respect you and honor you, but you have to respect me and honor me, that I'm a man of God, I'm led by the Spirit of God, and if you can do that, we'll work together." And he just stood back. I could hear the sigh going, "Oh." I went, "Have you got it?" And he goes, "So let God be in charge, amen?" Sweet. I goes in there and I preached a sermon, man. It was powerful. It was on faith. It was all different things. So anyway, after the service, they grabbed a hold of me, right? Because I didn't do this in the service. They grabbed a hold of me, the whole bunch of them. They grabbed a hold of me and took me into the office and they said, "We want you to pray. We want you to prophesy. We want you to release the anointing." Well, I'm praying like that. People were getting visions. I'm praying in the spirit and people were getting visions in that room, right? And as they're giving visions, all of a sudden God's telling me and saying, "No, this is what it means. This is what's happening." Right? In that room. This is in the Seventh-day Adventist, in the back room of the Seventh-day Adventist, and praying for their families and praying for their sons in the back room. God will open doors where men have closed doors, where denominations have closed doors. God will open the doors if we are faithful to do what we're doing. I don't know how I got onto that, but anyway. How did I get onto that? So back to Ryan, right? So Ryan goes, he says, "Danny..." Well, that's what it was. So when Ryan first met me, it was his uncle Joe Matthews, who's now in Australia, and he's just opened doors in Australia for me, and I was there just last year. Me and Tracy were over there preaching last year. And he said to me, he goes, "I want you to come," because somebody told him about me, and he came in here and he said, "I want you to come and do some men's fellowship for us." Well, when I heard it was men's fellowship, I'd already worked with some guys previously to that, a year before. You see, sometimes Jesus says, sometimes you just got to shake off that dust of your feet in certain areas of your life, right? If you know, if they're not open to receiving the perils and the revelation, the word of God like that, sometimes you just got to shake off. Well, I've worked with certain little men's groups before, and what happened was, this bunch of men, the first bunch of men that I worked with, I'm preaching about who you are in Christ Jesus, how to operate your faith, how to build your faith, how to release your faith, how to be strong in the Lord and the power of your might through the word of God. And one time, these guys, you know, what they wanted to do was, I know that this is probably nobody here, but if this is you, hey, shake the shoe off, right? They wanted to say, "Oh, but it's okay. God loves us just the way we are." This men's group. "God just loves us the way we are. God just loves us the way we are," you know, in their pornography and in their looking at the wrong things. And God's grace is sufficient for us. And you see, I was having none of that stuff. I was having none of that stuff. God's grace doesn't cover anything. God's grace takes you to a higher level to overcome everything. It doesn't cover, it actually empowers you to overcome the things that you can't overcome yourself and the natural man. The grace of God is the Spirit of God empowering your spirit to cause you to rise into a higher realm that you could be what He's called you to be. He loves you just the way you are, but He never called you to stay the way you are. He called you to change and be transformed into the likeness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be transformed, empowered, and you can't be transformed unless it's by revelation, knowledge by the Spirit of God. It's by revelation that you are changed. And that's why you need mentor. That's why you need men of God and women of God who are empowered by the Spirit of God to mentor you. Of course we can have a relationship. I had a relationship with Jesus the minute I got born again. I loved Him. I worshipped Him. He spoke to me and I was into Jesus and He was into me. But I needed to be trained. I needed to be mentored by men of God who were older than the things of God, who knew how to walk, who'd walk the walk. Well, this young man. So I'm in this group and I'm thinking, these guys just don't want to change. They wanted to stay in their ugly little thing because, you know, oh, where the church has hurt us. Come on. Is there anybody in this place that's never been hurt? I don't see any, right? Everybody has been hurt, right? See, but there's the solical man. Listen, Paul talked about it in Corinthians chapter 3, and he comes and he says, Paul says, I can't speak to you as spiritual people. I can't speak to you spiritual. There's things that I want to impart to your life. There's things I want to show you. There's the dimensions of the realm of the spirit I want. want to impart to you, but I can't because you're like Mia. And he's talking to the Corinthian church people. And in the Corinthian church, they flowed in the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, flowing in the gifts of the Spirit doesn't make you spiritual, because God can use a donkey. God can use a donkey to prophesy, right? Flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, that's the manifestation of the God upon you. What makes you spiritual? Walking in the spiritual realm, I'll tell you what it is. It's walking in the fruit of the Spirit. It's walking in the love of Jesus Christ. It's walking and letting the fruit appear in your life and being who Christ called you to be, that people will look upon you and see the light of the glorious gospel, and they'll want what you want. They'll want what you've got. The Holy Ghost will manifest himself because God wants to reach people. Come on, there must be people in here. You know that there's people over the years, right, that flowed in the Spirit of God, and the manifestations of the Holy Ghost have came upon them, right? And miracles and signs and wonders have happened, and yet they have fallen flat on their face, and they've been into all sorts of things. Why? Because the natural man. That's why Paul says, I put no confidence in the flesh. I put no confidence in the flesh. The flesh will always let you down, and that's why you've got to crucify the flesh. You crucify the flesh on a daily basis by speaking the word of God and declaring the word of God of who you are in Christ, that you are more than a conqueror, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Why? Because that's who you are. Because you're a spirit created in the likeness and the image of Almighty God. But your flesh and the carnality of your mind, and Paul's dealing with this in the Corinthian church, and he's saying, I can't speak to you bunch of carnal Christians. He says, where there's strife, where there's jealousies, where there's envies, if there's anything like that, it is carnality. The reason why that there are splits in churches, and the reason why that there's broken relationships in the body of Christ, is because they're walking in the natural carnal man, the solical man. The solical man is in control and taking charge of the life, and it's causing destruction within their life. Yet, if we would walk in the new creation, who you are in Christ Jesus, who you are in Christ, the love of God, the Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, in your spirit, by the Holy Ghost. You have the love of God inside of you. And if we would operate in the love of God, faith worketh by love. Faith worketh. You can pray all the beautiful prayers that you want. You can pray, fast, and do all you want. But if you are not walking in the love realm, it will take no effect in the kingdom of God. It is the love of God. And Jesus is love. His nature, his character is love. And yet you've been born of it. Why is there divisions and splits within churches? Because we've never learned to walk out of the love nature. Love is patient and love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Love takes no account of any evil done to it. But this bunch that I was working with for that period of time, they were sitting there and they were taking account. Oh, the pastor, that church done this, and that person done this, and that person done this. And I'm sitting there thinking, get over it and build a bridge. Move on with your life. We've all been hurt. We've all been broken. We've all been disappointed. We've all been disillusioned. Listen, they rejected Jesus. They spat on Jesus, right? They tried to throw Jesus over cliffs. I mean, he's healing, raising the dead and doing all the things, and this bunch is trying to throw him over the cliff. And the Bible said he just turned around and walked right through the midst of them, supernatural. They couldn't touch him. Why? Because he walked in the realm of love. He never stepped out of the realm of love, because that's who he is. The enemy will never be able to touch your life if you stay in the realm of love. Stay in the realm of love to overcome all things, because that's the character of God. So anyway, I say to myself, I think it's time. So one night I'm in the meeting and the guy goes, I'm sharing the word of God, being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, taking the word of God, putting into your spirit, feeding on the word of God. See, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And so people say, oh, well, I've heard that before. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And you will have to keep hearing until Jesus comes back. Right? You will see, faith comes to your heart the minute you're born again. You, every man that gets born again, the measure of faith comes to your heart the minute that you get born again. The measure of faith. But you are responsible for developing that faith. Faith has to be developed. It has to be built into you. And it can only come from the word of God, not through experiences. Right? Like I talked about Ryan, many experiences in life, not through things happening in life. It comes from the word of God. It's the seed. This word is alive. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts between the soul, the solical man, and the spirit man. It's the only thing that will discern how you're operating. Are you operating out of a solical realm? Are you operating out of your... My solical man, we wanted to operate very much so because of what was going on before I came down here. But my spirit kept rising and going, no, you're gone. You know, you're staying the course. You're staying the course. That's what she was like. Even though her eyes were like half closed, she's going, I'm going. Her spirit man was arising and ascending in the face of all adversity. So these guys turned around and said to me one night, I was preaching real strong stuff and getting the word, and it's the word that makes you strong like that. We can overcome these things. Just let it go. Just walk in the realm of forgiveness. Walk in the realm of love. Get in the word of God. Let the word of God be planted. If you don't get the word of planted within your spirit, there's things that will come down the road that will affect your life. And when it comes chapping, because we don't expect, right? There's certain things that comes in life and they just, where did that come from? Right? And if we are not prepared, if we are not prepared, and we don't have that word of God residing within us, right? We will buckle under the pressure, right? And we've got to train young men who are coming into the kingdom of God to show them, hey, you can start off in fire, you can start off in passion, you can start, and God will come upon you even as soon as you're born again, and he'll move you, through the Holy Ghost and through the gifts of the Spirit, but you will have to stay the race. Because there will be things that will be fired at you in your life. Disappointments, disillusionment, broken, that people will let you down. Because people are people. So they made the last statement, and he goes, and this is in a meeting, by the way, right? And they turned around, and this guy who was leading the meeting, he goes, Danny, he says, oh, we think that you're too strong in the word, and we just think that you're too strong. We don't need the strength of this word that you keep talking about. So that was the decision I made right there, right? There goes the sand off of my feet. I'm wiping my feet from this place. So I walked out, but I went and seen the brother. I didn't say anything in the meeting. I went and seen him the next day, and I said to him, I said, look, brother, I love you guys, but I'm taking a different direction. I'm out of here, right? And he goes, I knew you'd probably come today after what I said last night. I says, that's right. How can you be too strong in the word? How can you be too strong in the word? Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. The words that I speak to you, Jesus says, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and life. So the more of the word of God that you get into you, guess what? The more life is actually going to flow through you, right? People say, I want to be more anointed. They're praying for more anointing. You know what I tell them? Get more of the word of God in your life because the anointing is on the word. The anointing is on the word. The anointing is on the word of God. The Holy Ghost works with the word of God. The Spirit of God came to manifest the word on this earth. What am I saying? Remember when John the Baptist, he walks up and he looks at Jesus and he goes, behold, the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. And he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove. The Spirit of God descend upon who? Upon who? Who is Jesus? What? Say that again.
The Word.
The Word. John, it says in Genesis 1, it talks about God speaking the Word. But in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word is God. There is nothing created unless it's created through the Word. The Holy Ghost descending upon the Word. The Holy Ghost descends upon the Word. You can't get people saved by testimony alone. You can inspire them. They can be inspired. Listen, Paul was on that mount in the book of Acts. It talks about how he talked about an Apollos, and he talked about all these different gods, and he was inspiring them. But they didn't get saved at that point in time, right? Paul was growing in his life too. He was growing in his life too. Listen, you can inspire people with your testimonies, but you have to give them the word. You have to speak the word to them. It's the word. The anointing is on the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It is the word of God that changes people's lives. Once you've given, I walked into a shop last week, right? I'm walking, this is in Whakatane. I was doing something and I was driving past the shop and I've never bought anything. No. I think I went in this shop one time a few years back and bought one thing. I was in and out years back. I'm driving by this shop and all of a sudden I really get impressed in the Lord. Just go into the shop and buy, because I was looking for a beacon at the time, right? The newspaper. And I thought, I don't even got it. So I stopped the car. I walks in the shop. All of a sudden, I walks up to the counter. It was an Indian shop, right? It was an Indian shop. Indians owned it. And I walks in the shop, and all of a sudden, I walks to the counter, and the Indian guy behind it, he looks at me and he goes, how's your day going? So I'm going, yeah, my day's going great. And he goes, how's your day? And I went, how's your day going? And he went, no, how's your day going? And I knew. Right? I just knew, standing at the counter. I said, how's your day going? And all of a sudden he goes, and he puts his head down, and I started speaking to him. And I started, and I said, you know something? I says, you don't have to have what you're going through just now. I said, you know how God loved you so much? And I started speaking about the love of God. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost arrested him. This is behind the counter in the shop, right? And he's standing there and he's looking at me and he can't speak and he's looking and he's listening and I'm speaking about Jesus. And I might start speaking about Jesus. All of a sudden he goes, I don't believe in Jesus. Too late, buddy. You're too late. Because the word of God has already been released. The Spirit of God, the Spirit, too late, right? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because the minute you sow the seed, now the Holy Ghost has got something to work with. Because you have planted a seed, like the farmer plants a seed, right? The rain will come, right? And it will start to grow. God needs the seeds to be planted before there's ever a harvest. If there is no seed planted, there'll never be a harvest. There can be no harvest without the seed being planted. Every seed will produce after its own kind. He goes, I don't believe in Jesus. I said, listen, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, Jesus loves you. He loves you. Jesus loves you. But you don't understand. I said, no. I just ignored what he was saying. I said, I'm telling you, God loves you. Jesus loves you. He died in the cross. But you don't. I said, no, I do understand. So anyway, I stopped there. And I went to walk out of the shop. He followed me out of the shop. He left the counter. And he follows me outside the shop, right? I said, I need to go. And he goes, no. And he goes, but you don't understand. I said, no, I do understand. And he says, I can do all this stuff myself. And I says, well, it doesn't look like it's working out very well, does it? You're doing it yourself, right? It's not really. And he goes, but I can do this myself. And he says, I can do it my way, right? Well, I thought to myself, the number one hit in hell is, I did it my way, right? Who was it sung that? Was it Frank Sinatra? I did it my way. We can't do our way. Right? Man is fumbling through life because he's trying to figure out who he is, what he's about, what's his identity about, and he's looking, he's grasping for things in life and trying to work it out and just fumbling over everything in the darkness. Told you all that to tell you this. So we go back to Ryan now, right? So I get invited to go to this other man's meeting and I start working. So I go, I'm thinking, oh, not another man's meeting. I couldn't take another, you know, going down that lane again with all these guys, you know, broken and messed up or whatever and don't want to change. It's different if they're broken and messed up and the desire to change, because Proverbs, as Philip says, let him that's got an ear to hear, let him hear. You've got to have an ear to hear. Over the years, even when you grow and you develop, you just want to go and you run. I got called in the spirit many times, or you're like a stallion and you just want to go. But the Lord spoke to me and prophesied to me through a man of God, and he says, the stallion is useless unless it's under control. Right? The stallion is useless. In other words, what God was saying, you stay under the authority, you stay under men of God until they mentor you and train you so that I can use you in a proper manner. So anyway, I said to Ryan, okay, I'll come. So I went and I started to share about the new creation reality. I do a whole 8-week course in this stuff, right? And when I say it's like seven different churches been affected by these courses, I mean transformation. Right? By revelation through the word of God. Just by standing, sharing, and preaching who they are in Christ Jesus and their identity in Christ Jesus. And he said to me, come. So I went to these men. At the beginning, it was only like, you know, half a dozen men. Went down there, started doing it. Then him and his Uncle Joe, right? Very much entrepreneur. That's why we need the body of Christ. We need each other's gifts. Right? We need each other, right? And they just had lots of things that I didn't have in my life. And they're very entrepreneurial. And they say to me, you can't keep this stuff here. We've got to get this out. So they give me this push, and we started doing these classes. And amazing. Isn't God amazing? In the Presbyterian Church in Whakatane, right? I'm full gospel. I'm full blown, right? You know, Pentecostal. And Pentecostal, right? Whakatane, right? Now, the pastor in Whakatane is a South African guy. He's born again in spirit filled, lovely man of God, right? But he's got to work with what he's got. And there's a lot of resistance in what he works with, right? So anyway, the door opens for me to go in there and use that building, right? And now we're actually hooked up with another church called Shake All Nations that actually has the church in the Presbyterian Church at the same time. They have their service over there. We have our service over here. Shake All Nations is here. The Presbyterian, they have their church over there. And since we have been, I've seen even the difference in their church has grown. Why? Because that man has a kingdom mentality. Right, that Presbyterian minister has a kingdom mentality to build the kingdom of God, and he's allowed this to come into the building, full Pentecostal people, right, doing what they're doing. So we're in one side, they're on the other side, and then he opened the door for us to give us rooms. Doesn't even charge us. doesn't even charge us for the rooms. He says, now you have the rooms. You do. We run classes two nights a week. We've done it for the last 3 years in these rooms. And this is because of being around a bit entrepreneurial mind. See, you hang the big dogs, you get big ideas, right? I'm great at discipling and mentor and getting people raised up. These guys have just bigger ideas, and they showed me how to do certain things, and we get this all going. All of a sudden, I've got people coming from Presbyterian church, from Catholic church, from Baptist church, from all sorts of backgrounds into these classes, and God is mentoring them by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. I've got people coming into the classes that have been on oppression, right, for years. I'm talking Christians, people. It shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. I mean, we're talking, I heard this morning, the glory of God that dwells in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, who we are in Christ Jesus, the righteousness of God, that you can step into the presence of Almighty God at any point in time because He made you righteous. Righteousness is a gift. Righteousness is a gift. It's not the way you wake up in the morning, you don't feel righteous. What's that got to do with anything? I wake up in the morning, I feel like God's a million miles away. What's that got to do with anything? I say sometimes, hey, God is, watch me, God is with you. God, no, God's not even, God's here. He's in us. We are so prone many times to go with our feelings and our emotions. Now, God gave us feelings and He gave us emotions. But our feelings and our emotions was never to lead us. They are there to serve us, but they were never there. They are a bad master. Your emotions and your feelings are a bad master because you can change your feelings by the way that you think and the way that you speak. You wake up in the middle of Scotland and it's freezing cold and you're lying there going, I ain't going to bed, buddy. It's too cold. The snow, the ice is in. Oh, no way. I'm not going to. Your feelings, right? And your emotions. You think, oh, I'll just take a day off of work, right? Your responsibility gets you out of bed. You step on the floor. You have a coffee. Bang. Your feelings has changed. Your feelings will deceive you. Your emotions will deceive you. That's why the Bible says, it says in James 1:17, it talks about receive the word of the Lord. Receive the word of the Lord and renew your mind. It says that your soul may be saved. Come on, how many times we say we're going out the street to save some souls? It's unscriptural. It's your spirit that gets saved. Your spirit man, you get born again. Your spirit man gets recreated the minute that you receive Jesus Christ. Your spirit man is saved in the kingdom of God. You're born again. You're the nature of God, the love of God inside of you. But your soul is a different story. Your soul is your emotions, your will, your intellect, and your reasoning realm, right? And that has to be saved on a daily basis by the word of God. And it says, receive the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. Why? Because the spiritual giant is the man of God or the woman of God whose mind is in line with the spirit, that your spirit should be leading. Your spirit should be dominating. Your spirit should be walking the way He wants to walk. You, the inner man. Paul talks about it, the inner man. Strengthen the inner man. It's the inner man that will lead you. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. The sons of God, where is He going to lead you? In the inner man. He doesn't lead you in your mind. He doesn't lead you in your emotions. He leads you in the inner man. And we've got to learn to the unctions. I heard the testimonies this morning, you know, driving in the corner. I felt this just, and where did you feel it? It was inside. The unction in your junction. The unction in your junction, right? God leads. There's many times we're in situations because we are not listening to that unction in our junction, in the inner man, in the spirit man, our solical man. I nearly lost my eye in Waimana when I first came here. Worked on a farm. A guy that worked in social work for 10 years, working in social work, and then comes to New Zealand and works on a farm. And I've got my hand in the back of cows, and I mean, what was that about, right? 18 months I did this, right? God took me there and had a great time. And the guy takes me, he says, let's go to badminton. I haven't played badminton in my life. I'm a soccer player, right? Still play a bit of soccer at my age and still show the young boys how to do it. Why? Because I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I believe what I heard this morning is this. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal body. But before He'll quicken your mortal body, the word of God will quicken your spirit. The word of God is quick and alive. It quickens your spirit, man. The stronger your spirit is, the stronger your body will be. At 57 years of age, I'm still running around the park for 2 hours at a time with these boys in five-a-side football. Still showing them what to do. Why? Because I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might, because I know the word of God quickens my inner man. So I'm in Waimana, and all of a sudden, right, oh, we went to badminton, doubles, didn't play it in my life, but I'm 100%. Got any sport, I'm into it, right? I'm into it. Gets in the sport. Anyway, the shuttle goes over the top. I'm supposed to let the person behind hit the shuttle. I turn around, smack. All of a sudden, the bat hits my eye, splits my eye. I'm talking my eyeball. My eyeball was split and the blood is pouring out my eye. My wife was there. She came up straight away, started praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, takes me in the ambulance and takes me. I had an operation in my eye, but I believe God saved my eye in the ambulance, right? She was there praying in the Holy Ghost. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. If I were to listen to the inward unction, that would have never happened. Because before I went there, I was sitting having breakfast after milking the cows and sitting having breakfast, and I knew that I was going to the Baron, had this unction. It just wasn't. But do you know what it was like? Having a bath with your socks on. Has anybody ever had a bath with their socks on? It just doesn't seem right, does it? It just doesn't seem right, having a bath with your socks on, right? Anyway, that's what it was like. It was like having a bath with your socks on, right? I'm just sitting there thinking, no, I can't do this. I'm thinking, but my soul could burn, because I like sports, right? Because I love sports, I like playing sports, and I want to be with the boys, I want to play a bit of badminton, right? And it just kept, but there was a pool, see? There was a pool. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7. The things I want to do, I can't do. The things I do, I don't want to do. Right, he talks about this struggle. He talks about this struggle that's within him. Right, but he comes to the end of chapter 7 of Romans. Right, he comes to the end. The only way that you'll overcome the struggle, right, is when you yield yourself to the inner man. When you yield yourself to the Spirit of God, you will start to overcome. He says, "Oh, but who will deliver me from this wretched thing that's going on?" And he says, "God, God will deliver me. What? He will deliver me from the inward man." Right, and then he goes into Romans chapter 8, and he tells you how this all works. But there's a struggle in chapter, he's showing you the struggle that he's got in Romans chapter 7 about the inward man and the outward man, right? The carnal man and the inward man. There's a struggle. The things I want to do, I seem I can't do. The things I do, I shouldn't be. And he's struggling. That's what happens in these men's meetings. I was showing you they were struggling, and if they had just listened, they'd have been strengthened by the power of God and the word of God in their inner man, and they wouldn't have had the same struggles. And how do I know that? Because Jesus says you'll know it by the fruit, right? And I've got much fruit to the count of God's word in these classes that we've done over these 3 years. Ryan came up and he said to me, Danny, he says, my life is totally, he says, I've been a Christian years and years and years. My father was a praise and worship leader, a preacher, and all of these things. And he says, I've been around for years. He says, but my life has totally been transformed and totally been changed. He says, because of the word that you've planted within my life. Totally transformed, right? The guy is in fire. He's in fire for God, right? He's now with Mosaic. I think they've changed their name. He's with the Mosaic Church over there in Whakatane. And he says, my life has been transformed and changed by the word of God. He says, where I was struggling, like Romans chapter 7, right? You got to read it in your own time. Romans chapter 7. He says, I was struggling, trying to overcome so many things in my life, struggling with different things. I don't want to say things because it's, you know, whatever. But they're struggling with so many things in my life. And he says, and trying to do it, he said, and I'd go so many, and all of a sudden I'd fail. And it wasn't because he didn't experience God. It wasn't because he didn't know the Holy Ghost. It wasn't because he didn't know Jesus. It wasn't because he had manifestations of the Holy Ghost in his life. There's too many people running around looking for experiences. The word of God will give you the experiences. I love experiences. I love Holy Ghost experience. I'm doubled over. I can tell you stories about the Holy Ghost coming upon you and seeing people delivered and all sorts of things. But I'm telling you, it's based upon the word of God. The word of God will sustain you when nothing else. Experiences will not sustain you. The Old Testament is full of experiences of Red Seas opening up, right? Of giants' heads coming off, of all great glorious things, and that bunch died in the wilderness. And yet they saw all the glories of God. The word of God will empower. The difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is you have a better covenant based upon better promises. Because why? Because God comes to live inside of you. But even that, there's Christians who are in mental institutions, born again, spirit-filled Christians, because they're solical man. Yes, because of demons. And it's because they haven't been trained who they are in Christ Jesus. Because if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, that you are more than a conqueror, that you're the righteousness of God, that you're empowered by the Holy Ghost, that you're washed by the blood. Listen, my cousin ended up, this is years ago when I was a young Christian, she was praying and fasting, and many of us got saved because of her prayers. And that woman ended up in a mental institution for a short time. Do you know why? Because she wouldn't sit under the word of God. Because she had great experiences with God and the Holy Ghost, right? And could pray people into the kingdom of God, and yet her own life ended up a disaster. And she came to the point, right, and you might, She came to the point that she started drinking vinegar and water because she heard a voice saying to her like that, "You're unclean. You're unclean." A voice. And that's the dangers of people always seeking experiences. You are supposed to seek Jesus. You seek Jesus, the author, the finisher, the developer of your faith. Your eyes are supposed to be on Jesus. You look to Jesus. He will give you the experiences. We don't seek experiences. We seek Him. And as we seek Him, He, by the Spirit of God, will come upon you. And He will give you the Holy Ghost experiences. But there are people who are tapping into the wrong spirits and listening to the wrong voices. I don't know why I'm preaching, because I didn't have no idea I was even going down this line. But my cousin listened to the wrong voice and thought that she was unclean. Now, the simple fact is, people, come on. Every person in this room probably knows this. You are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're washed by the power that's in the blood. It's got nothing to do how you acted or what you have done or what you could do. It's got nothing to do with what you have done or could do. It's to do with what He done at Calvary. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the power that's in the blood. The power's in the blood. The power's in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him and not about you. And it doesn't matter if you fall, you mess up, you blow it. Your righteousness is not based on what you've done or what you could do. Your righteousness, it's based on the cross. It's a gift. But the reason what happens, the enemy comes when people blow it. What happens is, the condemnation. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It tells you that in Romans chapter 8. No condemnation and to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you walk in the flesh, what happens is the enemy will come. The enemy will come and he will condemn you. He will condemn you. God condemns nobody. God will convict you by His Spirit to make you do the right thing and tell you to keep in the right place and walk in the realm of love. He will convict you, but He will never condemn you. Your God didn't die on a cross. He didn't send His Son to the cross. He didn't send Jesus to the cross to condemn you. He came to what? To lift you up, to build the church, to build a people of power, to build champions for God. He's come to build the church. Oh, God's just taking me through this stuff to teach me something. He sent the Holy Ghost to teach the church. He didn't send sickness, disease. He didn't send oppression. He didn't send the trials to try and teach you something. God teaches you by the Holy Ghost. He sent the Holy Spirit because Jesus says, "Boys, when I leave on a jet plane, when I go to here," He says, "don't be concerned. Don't be worried because I'm sending another comforter. He's already with you. He's already with you. He's been working with you. When you've been walking with me, He's been working with you." He's talking about the Holy Ghost. He was prophesying to them. Why? Because the Holy Ghost couldn't come and live in mankind until they went to the cross. He could come upon them in the Old Testament and He could do miraculous things, but He couldn't come and live inside of them. So Jesus is saying, "Listen, boys, I'm gone. But don't be concerned, because He, the Holy Spirit, He will come." And what did He say? "He will teach you all things that I've said. He will teach you of me." That's what I mean by the Holy Ghost. He's attracted to the Word. He will teach you what Jesus said. He will lead you to the Word. He will lead you to Jesus. He will always lead you to the Word. And there's too many people looking for the experiences. And listen, if it's not in line with the Word of God, you've got something wrong. It's got to be in line. The Holy Spirit will not tell you anything that's not in that Word. So my cousin ended up in that terrible place. Prayed me into the kingdom as a young Christian, right? And she ended up in that place because she listened to a wrong voice and thought that she was unclean. And the only reason why she thought she's unclean, because there's one thing that was missing in her life. She didn't have an ear to hear. She was unteachable in certain areas. So God will work through you no matter what place that you're in, because the Holy Ghost wants to minister to people and He will pray through you. But there comes a point, you've got to read Proverbs and look at all the problems and have an ear to hear. Have a teachable attitude. She didn't. She didn't listen. She thought it was that because God was moving through her. And that can happen. It's called pride. Satan got kicked out of heaven because of pride. We can't allow a smidgen of pride. And that's why when I'm preaching all the time, I'm telling you, I can do nothing without Him. You can do nothing without Him, without Jesus. And it's Him working through you. But He wants to work through you and empower you. So Ryan said to me, he goes, "I'm telling you, Donnie." He says, "I'm telling you straight." He says, "My life is transformed." He says, "My marriage has flourished. My children, right, has flourished. In fact, his daughter, right, they gave his daughter a bad report probably 3 years ago. I don't know what they called it, right? It was something to do with the brain or whatever, right? And she would walk for a short bit and she'd fall over. And she kept falling over. So I don't know what it was. I can't remember what he said it was. But she kept falling over. And they gave this negative report and says, this is what she's got. This is what's happening, right? There was a concern, right? But what happens is this. I'd been working with him for 3 years, right? Up to that point, or 2 years up to that point, speaking the word of God, showing him how to operate in faith, showing him how to build faith into his life, showing him how to operate in faith and build his spirit, that he came to a place. See, there's that curveball again. There's that curveball came into your life, an unexpected thing, a beautiful, healthy little girl, and all of a sudden, like this, all of a sudden, something hits her, right? And then the big surgeons, they're telling them, this is what's wrong. The motor's in her mind, blah, blah. She's going to end up in a place where she won't be able to walk. He was having none of it, right? He was having none of it. He was taking no negative report on board. But the reason why he took none of it, because his spirit man was strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And even though his mind was doing somersaults, his spirit was stronger and what his mind was doing at that point in time. And he says, Danny, I'm so thankful the word of God has been placed in my heart. It's empowered my spirit. It's empowered me so much inside to stand in the face of all adversity. He prayed. We got together and we prayed. And that little girl is absolutely healed. She's absolutely healed. A beautiful running about the place, right? His business, right? I'm talking his marriage. I'm talking his children, right? Beautiful. God touches children. God has business. He's a lighting expert and music expert. He's a praise and worship leader, but he does. He travels all over the place and people use him for all sorts of things. And he's got a heart for the kingdom of God. He's got this truck. It opens up and he's got $100,000 worth of equipment and he's traveling all around the country. And he preaches the gospel, him and a few others playing music, and he goes round into places where people won't even go. Up into the bush in different places. Why? Because God has transformed. A man's not a success unless he reigns up successors. So he's going into all these places, right? He's going to all these places preaching the gospel. He wouldn't have been doing that. He wouldn't have been doing that unless somebody got a hold of him and started preaching the gospel of Christ and who he was in Christ Jesus, that who he was. See, what's happening in the body of Christ? We're trying to be something that we're already, we're trying to grab a hold of something that we already are. Did you hear that? We're trying to be something that we already are. When I preach this stuff, I tell, listen, you're already a new creation. You're already more than a conqueror. You're already an overcomer. You're already righteous, but you have to develop it. You have to develop the fruit. Listen, the fruit of the Spirit is in your spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, meekness, temperance, faithfulness. Against such there is no law, right? It's in you. Oh, I'm just impatient. I just get angry all the time. That's the fleshly man again. That's the carnal man speaking. Oh, I'm from a Scottish background. I'm from German. I've got a bad temper. There you go with the cultural stupid stuff talking like that again. You are a new creation. You are a brand new person, right? People say, oh, where are you from? I'm from Scotland. No, I'm actually from heaven. Oh, I'm serious. I'm serious, right? Paul says, my citizenship is in heaven. My citizenship, why? Because Paul, when you read the letters of Paul, he's always talking about the inward man. Listen, he says, Paul makes this statement, he goes, I think it's Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, and he says, and he talks about running a race, he says, I keep my flesh under, I keep my body under, I keep my body under. Who's he talking about? I keep my body under. He's talking about the spirit man. He, the real man, keeping his body under. When Paul writes his letters in Romans and renewing your mind, he says, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, right? That you may prove what is the acceptable will of God. Present your body. Who's he talking to? He's talking to who's going to present your body? You, the spirit man, is going to present your body to church. Your soulical man's going, sit back. I've had a hard week. I'll watch some TV. I just need a rest. Your soulical man will speak like that. Your flesh, your feelings, your emotions, right? Spirit, soul. But your spirit man will always say, take me to church. Take me to church. Take me to hear the word of God. Because I know if I hear the word of God, I'm empowered, right? I tell people, come to the classes. Forget if you're tired. Listen, I work in a full-time job, but guess what? I come. My flesh is tired, right? But guess what? I've got to turn up. What happens if I don't turn up? Imagine the class turning up and I don't turn up because I'm tired. But you see, people have an expectation on preachers and teachers to do that stuff. But what about themselves? Have the same expectation. Put the same expectations on yourself, right? Make yourself. Paul says, I keep my body under. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, that you may prove What is it, right? What? How? By renewing your mind. How's your mind going to be renewed? By sitting under the word of God. By speaking the word of God. How does your spirit man arise? Okay, here it's here. The psalmist David said this. He says, "The entrance of thy word, the entrance of thy word brings light, wisdom, and understanding." The entrance of thy word. The entrance of thy word brings light, wisdom, and understanding, right? The word of God, right? In fact, Ephesians says this. Ephesians says, God is able to do far more than you could ever imagine or think according to the power of God that what? That worketh what? Where? In you. Not external. In you. Right? The word, what he's talking about, according to the power of God that works in you, what he's talking about, the word of God gets implanted into your spirit, and it's the word of God believed in your spirit, developed in your spirit, and then you start to decree the word. The psalmist David put it this way, he says, the entrance of thy word brings light, wisdom, and understanding, right? In other words, the light gets switched on. And Proverbs talks about the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, lighting the most innermost parts of your being, right? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, like the old tiller lamp, you know? Right? Your spirit man. God wants to enlighten your candle. There's some 20 watt bulbs. We're talking about people, right? 30 watt bulbs, 40 watt bulbs. Oh, that depends on God, how bright you are. No, it's not that dependent on God. It depends on you. How much you will put the word of God into your life and speak it into your life and speak it over your life. The more the word gets into your spirit, guess what? The light, the bulb gets brighter. Because the word is light. The psalmist David says, the entrance of thy word brings light, wisdom, and understanding. Right? But he didn't stop there. He goes on to say, he says, thy word is what? It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Ryans, right? I can give you many more, I can't give you this now, but the many more testimonies. These guys have sat under the word so much and listened to the sermons over and over and over. I mean, this guy's got all the sermons on the phones that I've preached right in the last 3 years. And he said, I listened to him over and over and over. See, he's diligent. It's the diligence that God says. I'll reward the diligent, those who are diligent. You must come to God, must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. This guy, diligent with the word, putting it in, listen to the word, going to bed at night, listen to the word. It's going in there. And what is he doing? It goes in there, and it bubbles up. And it bubbles up, and it bubbles up, and he starts to speak it, and he starts to speak it, right? His feelings are saying, oh, it's a bad day, this is happening, this is going on in my life, this is happening, sickness, disease, whatever. No, no. He starts speaking over his door. Oh, she's healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm the righteousness of God. It doesn't matter what he's feeling, it doesn't matter what his emotions are saying. He's speaking it. What's happening? The lamp, all of a sudden, the spoken word. The word of God brings faith to your heart. It has to be developed in your spirit, man. And when it gets developed in here, the incubator, say incubator. Your spirit is like an incubator. Your spirit man is like an incubator. And what happens, it develops. The word of God comes into the incubator and it develops inside of you, right? It develops. And once it starts to develop, and all of a sudden, faith then, see, when we're speaking the word of God and decreeing the word of God, that's what people have said over the years. Ah, they're just parrot fashion. They're just speaking, it's just all parrot fashion. No, you're the parrot, buddy, listening to the wrong voice. You're parroting what the enemy wants you to tell you, because the enemy knows the power of the spoken word, right? It's the spoken word. God creates things by the spoken word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? You know the story? God expects us to do the same thing. We are created in his likeness and his image, and we are supposed to be speaking the way that he thinks and the way that he speaks. You've got to think his thoughts and speak his thoughts to change the circumstances. The psalmist David said this way, my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. My tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. You can speak your destiny into existence. Your destiny is sitting inside of you. People are looking for things to line up on the outside. Your destiny is sitting inside of you, right? And as you're praying in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, your destiny, in fact, in Corinthians it says this. It says, Paul says, when I pray in the Spirit, I pray divine mysteries of God, right? Divine mysteries. The word mysteries means divine purposes and plans and the purposes of God. Will and purposes of God. When you're praying in the Spirit, you are praying the divine plans. That's why I want you to pray in the Spirit. Because sometimes your head can just get in the road, buddy. Right? And you pray in the Spirit and it bypasses your brain. That's why you struggle sometimes to pray in the Spirit, right? If you're not used to doing it a lot. It's why? Because your brain has had so much charge of your life, it wants to take charge. But your Spirit should be the one that should be taking charge of your life. Praying in the Spirit, divine plans and purposes of God. Last couple of thoughts. So I pray, that's why Paul says, I pray in the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding, right? And he's always talking to the inner man. So then the spoken word becomes a lamp into your feet and a light into your path. And what Ryan said to me really struck a chord with me. He says, Danny, he says, I've had so many struggles in my life. And he says, it almost feels like I'm walking this life and I don't feel that there's a struggle in life. And he says, it's not because there's not battles there. It's not because there's things, it's not because that there's nothing going on and there's different battles. It's because he is in a different place in Christ Jesus. He's positioned himself in Christ. Where? Far above, right? It says in Ephesians, far above all principalities, far above all powers, far above all works of darkness, far above. You can live rising up in wings of, what is it? Of eagles, right? How, those who wait upon the Lord, not sitting waiting for nothing to happen. Those who wait means minister to, means worship. Rise up, be strengthened, rise up inside of you. Your spirit man has to ascend. That's why praise and worship is so powerful, because your spirit man wants to rise into a higher place so you see things from a different perspective. He says, I'm seeing things so differently in my life. And I'm speaking to things and declaring things that harassed me over the years. I'm speaking to things and my life is totally transformed and changed. Why? The power, the empowerment of the word of God into your life. And you don't have to wait. Now listen, we come under anointings. We've got apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers. We come, and all these gifts and these anointings have certain keys. And I really believe this. There are certain keys to unlock your destiny within inside of you too. Because that's why God put them in the body. That's what it says. That they're there to train and to develop so that you can have a greater walk and come to the fullness of faith in Christ Jesus. So they have a purpose in your life. But it doesn't stop there. You have to take the word of God and you have to apply it. Because I've worked with people that have never applied it. And I used to sit in church and think, why is it working for some people and not other people? God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. It's about what we are activating. Well, I heard it this morning. I think it's from my brother at the back there. I think it was, yeah. And he said, you have got to reinforce. You don't sit back. God has won the victory at Calvary, but you, the body of Christ, the champions of God, are reinforcers. You have to reinforce the victory that he wrought at Calvary. Otherwise, it won't happen. It won't happen. Because people are saying, oh, why isn't God doing it? Because he's telling you, you've got to do it because he's given you dominion. He's given you authority. He's given you power. He's given you his name. He's given you his word. And he's called you and anointed you by his spirit to do the things that you need to do. And that's why God is releasing the people of God. Now, I've seen even over this last today, God is releasing the body into the world on the streets, praying for people in shopping centers and shops like I've done. And I heard this morning in shopping centers and all sorts of places. Why? Because champions are not people who back off. Champions are people who press in and believe God. Who's heard of Todd White? Todd White, man, I tell you, this guy prayed for 1,000 people. 1,000 people, and not one of those people got healed. And it was the 1,001 person that basically got healed. And from that day forward, all of a sudden, the miraculous has happened within his life. He refused to give up. He refused. And we have got to be champions. Champions are people who refuse to give up. When it looks like you're in the face of all adversity and it looks like things are going wrong, you have got to have the mentality, I refuse to give up. And all of these things are flourishing now down in Whakatane. These different people and different even churches are saying, hey, we're even in Rotorua now. A guy down there, an American guy, Scott, his name is. We're in there. We're doing classes in there. Why? They're loving it. Why? Because there's something different about that teaching gift. It just gets into people's spirit. See, the apostle touches all the different areas. The prophet, the prophetic utterances, which I can tap into too. But you know what happens? See, the teaching. The teacher's the pinky. You know why? Because it gets into your ears. It gets right into the inner man. The teaching anointing gets right into your inner man. And in those classes, people say to me, I've read this thing 1,000 times and I've never saw it. Why? Because it's not me. It's the anointing of the teaching anointing. Jesus taught anything Jesus did. Jesus taught more than anything else. He preached and he was anointed to preach, but he taught. And he spent thousands of hours with these men. Thousands of hours he spent training them, because he says, go into all the world and make disciples. He didn't say get converts. He says, make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. So the last word is this. A man's not a success unless he raises up successors. You've got to be successful in your life too. Because my wife said to me clearly, you know, when you listen to your wife, she goes, don't you try to go out there and win the world for Jesus and think you're going to change all of this unless you can't. She said, if you can't take charge of your own mind, What chance have you got out there trying to take charge of something that's going out there? You have got to take charge of your own mind. Your spirit man has to take ascendancy in your life so that we can be more potent and be more effective. God will still do things, but he wants to be more effective, which I'm hearing the cry from this brother here. I heard it this morning. He goes, I want the real deal. I want the real deal. I don't want the Nancy Pansy Christianity, right? We say, oh, this happened and that happened and there's no proof of what's going on. I'm telling you, I'm seeing proof in Whakatane. I'm seeing transformation by revelation and people's lives being changed. That's what I want to see within the body. And then we're hearing other testimonies like the back there, praying for people and seeing the real deal. God, my pastor used to say, real faith will produce real results. Real faith will produce real results. If we're operating in real faith, it will produce real results. If we're preaching the word of God under the anointing of God, we will see real results in people's lives by preaching the word. Hallelujah. Are we going to sing a song? Can we sing a song, yeah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If anybody wants prayer, hallelujah. He say manai yindoki in clan cro pram prishti king clan clo pram makinte. In singang the body in glepo, jivilitri bristu brang, jito ba man jan jai. In zorim in zestu, ribisirian grai, zitorim in zeki doye. Hai rizorim in zindri andrai, il rustigrum bangrai. In sil restu kuprindorn in zurnrim in zindri. For there is doors opening, says the Lord. There is doors of opportunity opening up. That I'm opening doors up. That I want my people. I want my people to walk through doors and do what it is that I've asked them to do. For it's me that wants to do it through you. I want to arise in you. I want every enemy to be scattered, says the Lord. And I am rising inside of my body like never before. And I am scattering the enemy. The enemy is being defeated. Oh yes, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Because my people are rising up into a new level, into a new place. Because they are listening, they are hearing, they are hearkening to my voice. They are yielding themselves to my spirit. For this is the time and this is the season where I am building my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. For I am the Lord God Jehovah and I did not pay a price at Calvary. Oh, I did not pay a price at Calvary. Oh, for the church to be weak. Oh, to be negative, to be broken. I paid a price that my church, for I'm coming for a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, a glorious church the world will see in the midst of all the turmoil, in the midst of all the things that's going on in the world. They will see the church is growing, developing, and they will see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So rabasti kiddingrai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hore besti kiddingrai. Harubobosti kiddingrai. And so ramamamama sakandra. I've got a word for you, brother. So remandan graste kedingra, and so reminde ki pro mama sindedingra. Oh, shinendriandra, as you bow your knee to me, said the Lord, and when you sense my heart break over my people, and you sense my compassion within your spirit, that my spirit will come upon you, that your heart will break for the things that I see. Your heart will break for the things that I see. And when your heart breaks for the things that I see, I will pour my spirit out of your spirit and I will cause things to be. That I will fill your mouth and you will speak. And when you speak, oh, my word will cause things to change. Oh, you will decree things by my spirit and you will see the things that you've desired. You will see the things. You will see the things that you have desired. Oh yes, for this time and the season is now, says the Lord, that you will see. But bow your knee to me more and more, and as you yield yourself to me, I will flow from the innermost being by the anointing, by the Holy One that dwells within you, and I will show you great. I will show you great things in the inner depths of your spirit that you've never even imagined, that you've never even thought. And I know that you have a great imagination, that says the Lord, because I gave you a great imagination. You have an imagination that can do all sorts of things, but I will cause that imagination to be expanded, and you will see things, and the things will develop within your inner man. Oh, they will develop. They will develop. They will develop. I will develop you. Oh, yes, because you can develop things. I've called you and anointed you to develop things, but I'm about to develop things within you. I'm about to develop things within you. Oh, I'm about to perform within you, says the Lord.
I release, God. I release that spirit of faith to go beyond, Lord God. Oh God, to go beyond the supernatural, to go beyond, Lord, the miraculous, Lord, that you are the God, that you is the God of the impossible. Oh God, that he has done things and he knows things that are possible, Lord, because of his great imagination. But Lord, I know that you will take us far beyond, Lord, even that, because you are the God. You are the God of the impossible. And so remains in place to keep me. And the Old Testament, God, it said the Spirit of God came upon them and gave them wisdom to build. And they didn't know how to build. They didn't know how to. See, God gives patterns in heaven. Like Moses knew how to build the temple. Why? Because when Moses built the temple, it said he saw the pattern in heaven. God revealed him by the Spirit of God. And God gave him a pattern and how to build. And I believe what God has seen to you. I will come upon you. By the Spirit of wisdom will come upon you. And he'll give you patterns. And he'll give you strategic planning and purposes. And he'll come upon you. And you will do things. And you'll see the greater glory. And you'll see the greater manifestations because of the Spirit of God.